This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Tuesday. Oh gosh, did I miss you? I am here, and man, do we have so freaking much to discuss. We will chop away at it. Yes, we'll do Medal of Honor Tuesday since I missed yesterday. I'll get to that in a second. We have great news about deportations. We have, well, I'm going to open up the show in a couple minutes talking about everything around you dying, why it feels like everything's worse. We'll dig into that. I am aware that our counterterrorism director, Joe Kent, retired publicly today. Now there's a war of words. That's kind of how those things go. All that, the overthrow of Cuba, emails, so much more coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show, including news out of China that you should really pay attention to. Before we get to any of that, I did, of course, show up today to emails like this. Stop missing Medal of Honor Monday. Stay focused on getting focused. This guy, okay. I wasn't sick. It wasn't the suits. The reason I was not with you yesterday was I was in the hospital. I am totally fine. It was not me laying in a hospital bed. It's also not information I am allowed to give you at this time. There was a very serious matter, however, and I had to be sitting beside somebody at their hospital bed, and I'm not sorry about it. That's the way it's going to be. I needed to be there, and so I was there, and now I'm back with you. This person is now alive and recovering, and that's all I'm going to say. Believe me when I tell you, I would much rather have been here talking to you. Now we shall move on. So I know that everyone's talking about the resignation of Joe Kent today, and now the war of words, and now every side is digging in, and but I'll address that in a little bit. I really will. I promise I will get to that. But as I have told you 1,000 times, I do not believe in chasing the newest headline every single day. I just do not. If you really take a step back and you can dispassionately look at the news, it's kind of crazy how for a short cycle, maybe it's a day, maybe it's a week, 2 weeks, a month, there will be one story that is everything, and it is treated as everything, and it's all anybody talks about. And then, like a light switch, people will just kind of switch and move on, and they'll go chase something else. And it's kind of revealing the whole game by the fact that sometimes the story itself, it hasn't been resolved, yet everyone moves on. All the media outlets move on, the radio shows, the TV shows, everyone just moves on. Remember when Russia-Ukraine was all anyone talked about for a couple weeks? It's all anybody talked about. Then everyone moved on. When is the last time you actually read a story about Russia-Ukraine or heard some radio rant about Russia-Ukraine? Been a long time, right? Well, it hasn't stopped. It's still happening. Everyone just moved on. I don't like chasing headlines. Try not to do that here. I want to talk about something. And I'll tell you, it occurred to me during my hospital visits yesterday and the day before. I was started out in an emergency room. Again, not me, with somebody. Started out in an emergency room. And there were, of course, few wonderful people in the emergency room. But it was pretty shocking how horrible the conditions were in the emergency room. And if I'm being honest with you, it was pretty shocking how horrible most of the people were who worked in the emergency room. I know there are wonderful people who work in medicine, but I was taken aback by how rude, disorganized, and ridiculous everybody was in that emergency room. Not everybody. Most people were in that emergency room. I was shocked. Shocked by it. And it got me thinking about the way things used to be in our country. Not just in emergency rooms. In everything. Doesn't it seem like, not ancient history, 10, 15, 20 years ago, that things worked better? I mean, you've heard Daniel Turner come on the show and lament this, but we'll talk about it right now. A refrigerator. We have been in our house, I think, for 5 years now, 5 or 6 years now, since we've been in this house. I think we're on our third refrigerator. Why do refrigerators all die now? My parents' refrigerator, I think, lasted them 25, 30 years. They all die now. Why is customer service worse? Why do things suck in the emergency room? Why is it worse to travel now? What is going on? Now, there are lots of reasons for this. There are lots of reasons for this. But I thought I could actually go to entertainment to point to a very important reason for it. Diversity. Diversity is a big reason why things in your life suck now that didn't used to suck. We just had the Oscars. No, I didn't watch. I don't care. I don't know who won anything. That's not about the Oscars. I don't care about that. But if you're in the movie business, movie director, actor, whatever, that's your Super Bowl. Everyone wants one of those Oscars sitting on a mantle. You know that. But you see, there were certain boxes you had to check to qualify to win an Oscar. Did you know that if The Godfather was made today, it could not win an Oscar? Here, let me read it for you. You have to meet a DEI quota to qualify for an Oscar. A lead actor, one of the leads, has to be a minority. At least 30% of all actors need to be from at least two minority groups. The main storyline has to be centered around minorities. I could go down the whole list. And by the way, this isn't just some news story. It's an official list. We found out it's a checklist you had to check. Why do the movies suck now? I love going to the movies. We love going to the movies as a family. Gathering the kids up, throw them in the car. It's one of the times the kids are allowed to eat candy. Let's get some popcorn. Let's go sit down, watch a movie. We haven't been to a movie in 2 or 3 months. We keep trying every weekend. Is there anything out? And we look and it's crap. Why do the movies suck now? Why does customer service suck? Why does your refrigerator suck now? Why does that? Diversity. Because we have destroyed industry after industry after industry in the United States of America by diversifying it. And as I've told you time and time and time again, diversity is the death of everything. It doesn't matter what you are trying to diversify. If you choose diversity, you set aside merit. If you choose diversity, you set aside merit. And if you set aside merit in anything, anything, making your refrigerator or making your movie or customer service, if you ever choose diversity, focus on diversity, you will slowly but surely kill whatever you are diversifying. And there's something else to this. It's even darker. We elected Donald Trump in November, last November. And we lied to ourselves, some people did, shortly after that, we had finally defeated things like DEI. We finally defeated that. That lost at the ballot box. And of course, it did lose at the ballot box. There's no question. But I do need to remind you that the people who did that, they're still doing it. They may be quieter about it. They may be changing names. They may be changing titles. But these people, they're not sorry. They're still doing it as fast as they possibly can.
Diversity, equality, inclusion are literally, and that's not kidding, the core strengths of America. That's why I'm proud to have the most diverse administration in history. It taps into the full talents of our country. And starts at the top with the vice president.
Our diversity is our strength, and our unity is our power as a nation.
Hi, I'm Major Rachel Jones. And what Pride means to me is celebrating that diversity is our strength as a nation and as an Army.
Why is diversity important to the Air Force?
Diversity is important to the Air Force
because the world is diverse.
Because without it, we're limited.
It's what makes the Air Force stronger.
We currently have nearly 40% women enrolled at the Coast Guard Academy.
This is Linda Fagan.
I'm really excited about the talent and the diversity that I see coming coming through the academy. My daughter is in the Coast Guard as a lieutenant, and there is just nothing but opportunity for her and all of the men and women that have joined the service. I'm really excited about the future as we look ahead.
The budget will advance our efforts to modernize the State Department, including by expanding our training float, updating our technology, carrying out diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility initiatives, including to make our overseas missions more accessible.
DEI is in deity. Diversity, equity, and inclusion is God.
Why haven't they changed? Well, that last little monster there gave the game away. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Oh, and thank you for the reminder, Chris, with the music. I almost forgot, it's St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Paddy's Day to all my Irish brothers and sisters out there. I hope you drink responsibly tonight. Now, the reason I bring this up is because we can get so distracted by the current headlines of the day that we forget there are destroyers among us. Destroyers among us who are religious zealots. And just because they don't sit in the White House and the White House doesn't light up with rainbow colors anymore, we can convince ourselves that we have defeated these people, that they're dejected, that they have gone home to change their ways. They're not dejected. They haven't changed their ways because the open hatred of white people, of white Christians, of America itself is a foundational principle for them. If you take that away, you destroy their entire religion. You destroy their entire worldview. So they're not sorry. They haven't changed. And this is why we have major cities in the United States of America whose mayors talk like this.
What I have done is I'm working with our HR, because that's where hiring rests, as we work to recruit more and more people to become firefighters, and particularly young black folks, and also ensuring that our HR department has fair practices that allow for more of black applicants to be in.
Why do we need more black firefighters? Why is that important? It's not important. In fact, if you censor out people of other races trying to get more black firefighters, what you'll have inevitably will be less qualified firefighters and people will die. Remember that DEI doesn't just cost your son his job. DEI kills people. Let's go to New York, shall we? Let's meet the new FDNY commissioner.
Lillian Bonsignor is a career first responder. In just 9 days, she'll be running the world's busiest fire department, one of the most important appointments of the incoming administration. Although she never served as a firefighter, she's confident that won't matter.
I know the job. I know what the firefighters need, and I can translate that to this administration who's willing to listen. I know what EMS needs. I have been EMS for 30 plus years.
Bonsignor is a trailblazer for the LGBTQ community who will serve.
Yeah, it was tough to tell. I know the job. How does that keep the people of New York City safe? It doesn't. It'll kill people, of course. Never even been a firefighter. Oh, in case you thought that was old news, here's the Democrat nominee for Senate in Texas.
White skin gives me and every white American immunity from the virus, but we spread it wherever we go, through our words, our actions, and our systems. We don't have to be showing symptoms like a white hood or a Confederate flag to be contagious. That's one from 2020.
Yeah. And I think an important thing to recognize with all the attacks that are coming from MAGA toward our movement right now, all of them depend on taking these things out of context. All of them depend on cutting some of the quotes before they end or cutting them at the beginning to kind of paint them in the worst possible light. And so for that, in that case, it was a tweet that was part of a larger thread about how we all have a responsibility to combat racism.
They're not sorry. Oh, would you like to meet another one? Meet Sarah Throne Garriott. Trone Garriott. I don't know if that's how you say your stupid name. Of course, it's a hyphenated last name. Nobody's surprised by that. You think Democrats have left this stuff behind? No, they haven't, because it's central to them, except it's not just Democrats running for office. They're in the HR department of your company. They're in air traffic control towers. They're firemen now. They're in the emergency rooms of the United States of America. They make your movies. Why does it seem like everything's crappier now? Because these people are an infection and they're everywhere.
White skin gives me and every white American immunity from the...
Wrong button. That sucked. That's awkward. Here it is.
I never considered running for office, but then I had some friends who were like me run for office, some other women kind of around my age. And when I saw them do it, and I realized that I was frustrated with some things about our state government, I thought it's not really fair to expect someone else to fix it, that maybe I should step up and try to make the change that I wanted to see. And by being in state government, I can see that we have a long way to go in really representing our community. It's not a very diverse group of leaders. We don't have people from many religious backgrounds. It's right. Mostly white, right. Mostly Christian, mostly older men. And
if you just listen to them, they'll tell you who their enemy is. Hey, Sarah, tell us more.
A new threat that we see today is the GLBTQ movement. It's a challenging of that status quo, of the way that things have been, of who's a man and who's a woman and how relationships are. It's very threatening to the idea of the white, male, powerful figure, because it muddies the waters and makes things ambiguous and confusing.
I just wanted to let you know, we're going to move off this because there's a lot of other stuff to get to. I just wanted to let you know that stuff is why it feels like everything's dying. That stuff, because we have diversified way too much in this country. The second you focus on diversity, you replace merit. That's why these people are always trying to list their qualifications. I totally know what I'm doing. People who know what they're doing don't have to scream to you that they know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. They'll screw it up. People will die, and yet they will continue. Don't forget it. All right. Talk briefly about the SAVE Act. Where are we at with all that? All that and so much more still to come on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Yeah, I'll get to this Joe Kent stuff in a little bit. Before I get to that, let me get to you and your pain. Getting old ain't fun. As my old man used to say, getting old ain't for sissies. Aches and pains come to you, don't they? That inflammation in your body, in your knee, in your back, in your neck, wherever. Your body used to be able to fight that off without any support. Now, what your body needs is support. Relief Factor is the help. I want you to think of Relief Factor as reinforcements. There's a little crack in the lines. The enemy's coming through. That's pain. All you need is some reinforcements. That's Relief Factor. And you need it drug-free. Relief Factor is natural. Natural ingredients. It's a supplement, not drugs. You take it every day, and the pain in your life, that chronic pain, the daily aches and pains, it goes away. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF and try a 3-week quick start of it. It's $19.95. Or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
You will go to Bangkok Palace. Now there is a new Maharaja. And again, the palace has the power of the dark light. It is that place. Kill my people.
Happy St. Paddy's Day to everybody out there. Oh, man, it is such a wonderful day. Now let's get to this, because I owe you a bunch of these. Jesse, if Trump somehow gets the SAVE Act signed into law, then what happens when the leadership in blue states simply refuse to abide by the act? Can the feds force states to comply? Says his name is Eric. Okay, first, when it becomes federal law, or if it becomes federal law, the states have to comply. Even the communist blue states have to comply with the feds. Sometimes, all right, let's explain this, and then we'll actually talk about the SAVE Act, because I had a chance to talk to Eric Schmidt about this today. We have something terrible about our system right now. Occasionally it works for our good. Occasionally it doesn't. Here's what's terrible about it. We have given up the 10th Amendment in this country, where the federal government is small, limited, and only has a tiny amount of authority. That's how it's supposed to work. Most of the authority in this country is supposed to go to the individual states. But 250 years of rot has led us to a place where the federal government, they give out huge sums of money to the states for various things. Things like Medicare reimbursement, for example. It's a good example. State writes a check. Hey, I have a bunch of Medicare money. Federal government steals all of our money and writes a check to that state. Money flows into the federal treasury and then it flows out to the individual states. Now, states, as you well know, they don't have their own currency. They can't print their own currency. States have to balance a budget somewhat or run a huge deficit. States, most of them, they need that federal money coming their way. So a state, not only by the law, they have to comply with federal law. The federal government, if you have a government that is willing to do it, the federal government can just simply say, okay, well, you're not getting any money then. We're seeing this right now with the Trump administration in some of these communist-run states. They won't comply with things the federal government has desired. The Trump administration has said, okay, well, you're just not getting any money then. Sorry. Well, these commies can virtue signal all they want. In the end, they have to have that money or the state is going to go belly up. See, now, we love this situation when it comes to things like, let's say the SAVE Act passes. Again, we're going to get to that in a second. Let's say the SAVE Act passes and you have a communist state with a bunch of illegals voting like California. And California, let's say they would say, hey, well, we're not enforcing it. You don't have to show an ID here. Then the federal government could and would under Trump say, okay, well, no more federal checks for you of any kind. Well, California can't afford that. The state would go belly up. The state would declare bankruptcy. So you have the power of the purse to force them into it. Now, I told you before we had this talk that this is a terrible situation, but I just described a wonderful situation. Well, the situation is such that red states need that money too. It's why under the Biden administration, with the widespread communist abuses we saw from the Biden administration, you saw some pushback from red states, but you didn't get some red state coalition standing up to the abuses of the Biden communist government and saying, no, you absolutely cannot do this. And you didn't get that because when a Democrat holds the power of the purse, they can do the exact same thing to red states. It's not supposed to work like this, by the way. It's not supposed to work so the federal government has that kind of power and authority. But when you start writing huge checks to states, when these things become law, then you're basically screwed. It's that scene in the movies where you need that $10,000 loan from the mob. You run a local diner. You need a $10,000 loan. There was a fire. You got to do some fire repairs. Your bank won't approve you. So the mob, they're going to loan you 10 grand. Oh, that 10 grand's going to come. But the mob guys are going to eat for free. And then they're going to eventually start taking money out of the till. And you're never going to be free of them completely. Works the exact same way. Now to the SAVE Act itself. I have always given it to you straight on things as I hear it. So let me give it to you straight on the SAVE Act. I don't know that it is dead. I assume it is dead. But right now, over the next couple days, there are going to be all kinds of things you probably don't fully understand unless you're a complete political nerd. And I don't either understand everything. So don't think you're alone that I get it and you don't. The filibuster, the talking filibuster, the amendment. These things get really, really convoluted and they get very, very confusing. And normal people who like politics and pay attention, even them, us, we don't understand all these things. So I had an opportunity to talk to Senator Eric Schmidt, senator from Missouri. Missouri has somehow become like the reddest state in the United States of America. Eric Schmidt is one of like five senators that are worth a crap. He's awesome, absolutely awesome. And he always gives it to me straight. And I asked him, is this thing dead? Are we dead? And Eric would tell me. And he said, no, it's not dead. It's going to be days. This is going to be one of those things that happens over, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, maybe Friday of this week. There's a chance we get out of this with something. Everything we want? No. And we might get out of it with nothing. But they are out there today publicly pitching for it and pitching hard. And I mean, there's a reason Democrats are so united on their message.
The SAVE Act, which I think violates the 19th Amendment when you tell American women you bring your driver's license and you bring your birth certificate. And if they don't match, which they won't for 69 million American women, mm-hmm. then you need to bring a passport. And half of the people don't have passports, you know? So, oh, yeah, just go out and buy an ID. That's a poll tax.
They even reached out to Jim Clyburn. He even had to do the race thing.
It's nothing but a throwback to those laws that were passed after Reconstruction that made it impossible for African Americans to get elected. And if the SAVE Act becomes law, it will reduce dramatically the number of African Americans that's currently serving in the Congress.
Oh, that's interesting. If people have to start showing ID to vote, it's going to reduce the number of black people in Congress? Huh. I'd love to hear Jim Clyburn elaborate on that. Anyway, moving on, here's Ted Lieu.
I'm opposed to stupid voter ID requirements. And the SAVE Act is insane because you know what it does? It's going to say for most people, your driver's license doesn't count for you to be able to vote. So how do you prove you're a citizen? Well, hope you have a passport. If you don't have a passport, you got to go try to find your birth certificate.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. On and on. I could go down the list. On and on and on they go. Democrats are united in their messaging trying to stop this. Republicans have been out there today, to their credit, even ones I don't like. They've been pretty nails on it. Hey, you need to show ID to buy booze. You should be able to show ID to vote. This is something the American people are with them on. Now, you know and I know the holdup is just with a few senators. John Curtis of Utah, Mitch McConnell, Lisa Murkowski, probably Susan Collins. There's a few senators. I have told you before that I don't like our odds, and I still don't like our odds. I'm not telling you the SAVE Act's going to pass. I don't think it will. But Eric Schmidt told me it's not dead in the water. So let's take him at his word. He's working hard for it. I know Trump wants it. That's a big bully pulpit. That's a good thing. All right. We'll do a couple emails and we'll get to other stories. Before we do those, let's get to this. It's tough finding a good employee now, isn't it? There are so many turds. You reach out to someone, they don't call you back. Or they do call you back. Yeah, I'll be in on Friday, 10 a.m. for an interview. And then they just don't show up at all. It's very, very frustrating, isn't it? You are not a full-time hiring manager. You have a business to run. Can't somebody do this for you? Yes, ZipRecruiter can and will do it for you. They don't just have matching technology that puts the best candidates in front of you immediately. It works this way where the most active candidates, the ones who have been looking most recently, they're the ones who get in front of you immediately. The most interested person, most qualified person gets in front of you immediately. It's not an accident. 4 out of 5 employers find somebody great the first day, and you can try it free at ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a St. Patty's Day, an amazing day, and I owe you so many things. 10 minutes from now, we're going to do Medal of Honor Tuesday because it wasn't here last night. I was in the hospital. Again, I'm completely healthy. It was not for me, but I most definitely had to be there, and I just have to leave it at that. We still have to get to immigration talk, Democrats protecting criminals talk. I will get to this Trump Joe Kent resignation stuff, all that, so much more still to come. Hey, Jesse, I think I'm beginning to understand why Democrats keep losing elections and why they'd won so many. It's voter fraud. You see, with all Democrats, voter fraud. Rhode Island carried 10,000 dead on its voter rolls for years. All right, so voter rolls. This is one of those, and I wanted to get to this because there's a story out about China that we should touch on. The Trump administration has been reaching out to states where they think some election funny business has been going on. And they've said to these states, like Arizona, hey, you need to give us your voter rolls. We need to know the list of voters who vote in federal elections. And kind of giving the game away, so many of these states have said, no, we won't do it. No, we won't do it. Well, what's the innocent explanation for that? You know, if my son's sitting there on his phone and I say, give me your phone, and he says no, which he wouldn't because I would just kill him, but if he says no, why? What have you been texting your buddy? But why, right? There's no reason not to. Now, I want you to couple that with this little story. Do you remember when Christopher Wray, communist FBI director Christopher Wray, went in front of Congress and said this about Russia?
The intelligence community's consensus is that Russia continues to try to influence our elections, primarily through what we would call malign foreign influence. But we certainly have seen very active efforts by the Russians to influence our election in 2020 through what I would call more the malign foreign influence side of things. Social media, use of proxies, state media, online journals, et cetera, an effort to both sow divisiveness and discord. And I think the intelligence community has assessed this publicly to primarily to denigrate Vice President Biden.
Yes. So there was a story a little while back. Just stay with me here. A story, I believe it was broken by Just the News. Just the News does great stuff. If you're looking for one of those sites where you're always going to kind of have the latest juicy stuff, Just the News is really good. John Solomon runs it. My buddy Jerry Dunleavy works over there. They just have good people. Anyway, Just the News, they did a story where we found out China was getting fake driver's licenses for people. And it looked like they were getting them so these people could register to vote. Now, the reason I'm a little vague on the details is the FBI discovered this and then spiked the case. The higher-ups in the FBI stopped the case. Looked like China was going to get involved in elections, and the FBI stopped it. Okay? I brought up that old story because there's a new story out, and you can go read all the juicy details at Just the News. It's not my story. It belongs to them. That the CIA, FBI, every part of the deep state, they became aware, and now we know this from documentation, they became aware that China was highly involved in the 2020 election. Involved in what way, you may ask? Well, China was hacking, or tried to hack, I don't know that we know everything yet, the voter rolls of the individual states. What would China gain from that? The voter rolls? What would China gain from Arizona? We'll just use them as an example. Why would China want to hack the voter rolls? Well, if you can get the voter rolls, you can request a paper ballot. You can vote. Combine that with a story that didn't get a lot of national attention. We talked about it on this show. Combine that with the fact they were getting illegal driver's licenses beyond just the regular illegals. Have we considered how invested China is in voting illegally in our elections? And this would be par for the course for China. Let's not forget, they got busted doing this in the UK. It was a huge international scandal that you and I didn't care about because we're not big on foreign policy. At least I'm not. Not big on foreign things. A huge international scandal was China hacking the voter rolls in the UK to do exactly that. And beyond that, I'm going to play it again. While the director of the FBI was saying this,
the intelligence community's consensus is that Russia continues to try to influence our elections, primarily through what we would call malign foreign influence. But we certainly have seen very active efforts by the Russians to influence our election in 2020 through what I would call more the malign foreign influence side of things. Social media, use of proxies, state media, online journals, et cetera, an effort to both sow divisiveness and discord. And I think the intelligence community has assessed this publicly, to denigrate Vice President Biden.
While the director of the FBI was saying that, the documents that are out there now confirm it. He knew it was China trying to get involved in the election so Joe Biden could win. The CIA knew it too. The deep state in the United States of America knew that China was trying to hack voter rolls, get phony IDs to vote in our elections, and they ran to the cameras and told you Russia was trying to elect Donald Trump. Now you know why I'm more focused here at home. Because that's where the enemy lies, right? Now, if you want to be ultimate American, you can patronize companies who hire American. Companies like PureTalk. It's very, very frustrating to me. In fact, I experienced it in the emergency room yesterday. How many foreigners you have to deal with in America's economy? It was hard to find an American. That drives me up the freaking wall. But when I deal with Pure Talk, when I pick up my phone, I dial #250 and I say Jesse Kelly, I get to speak to an American who speaks English. It's just about the most wonderful thing in the world. Would you like to have that as your mobile company instead of Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile? Pick up your phone, save a bunch of money, keep your phone, keep your number, and switch to the patriotic company, PureTalk. #250, say Jesse Kelly. And by the way, it's fast. You'll be switched over before we get back in the break. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.